Hello and welcome everyone. It's so good to be back again this week. I just have a couple announcements before we get started. I've been receiving a tremendous amount of emails, especially with the questions for the satsang. And so the best way is if you're writing me an email, it's best if you don't give me a super long email, just because I won't be able to get to it all and to all your questions. And if you can, just make your questions very precise and succinct. That's a great skill when we're learning to contemplate our life and to contemplate what's happening on the spiritual path. One of the great skills we can develop is creating very clear questions. And so this is something we can all work with when we're looking at our lives. We can say, well, what is it actually that I'm struggling with? And then when we know this, when we know what our question is, oftentimes the answer will just come forward from our own heart, from our own heart. And so I've been receiving, like I said, many, many emails that are very long. And it's just helpful for me, and it's also helpful for you if you make your question very brief, yet clear. And then I'll do my best to get to those. And so, of course, as always, whoever's here right now, I place a priority with you. And so if you have a question, please bring it forward, and I'll do my best to answer it this evening. And then if I don't get to your question, feel free to ask me again or resubmit your email next week. All that is it's helpful for me, because again, I just get overwhelmed by so many different emails. It's hard for me to keep track of them all. So anyways, I'll just put that aside. And then the next thing, I'd like to thank everyone for the donations. Thank you, Lynn, for your generous donation, and thank you for the others who I didn't remember their names, but thank you. It means a lot to me to support the teachings. So thank you for that. And so I thought we'd start, like always, by going inward and just being quiet. And I thought it'd be nice if we just gently opened each of the seven chakra centers. If we started our crown chakra, and just to open ourselves. We have this attitude of receptivity, that we are open to a transmission of grace. Grace from above and grace from within. And so I invite you to bring your attention to your crown chakra. Just simply imagine a bowl there, a receptive bowl. You're just feeling a gentle sense of aliveness. You're opening, breathing, relaxing. Giving yourself permission just to feel. Feel the crown chakra. Open to a connection with God, with life, with the intelligence and love of this universe. And so we call upon her. We say, Lord, will you come into me? Will you bless me this evening or this day? You help to open my mind and heart. And make me a conduit of thy grace, conduit of thy love. Make me humble, yet wise and loving. And so from this space of openness, we're going to bring our attention to the third eye center and just notice. Right there in the center of your head. So if you can imagine the forehead right between the eyes, but then inwards 3 inches. Just feel there. Feel this profound sense of openness. Deep and profound spaciousness. So we're opening in the third eye. Feeling as if you're walking into a deep cave. That's eternal and cosmic. So if you feel into the center, you may notice an emptiness, a spaciousness, very much like the night sky. And so if thoughts come, that's okay. You just don't pay any attention to the thoughts. But instead, notice the space in which the thoughts arise. Notice that this deep and profound emptiness has a luminosity to it, an intelligence to it. And yet is supremely silent. And again, if any of you have active minds, that's okay. We're not fighting. Not fighting with our minds, not fighting with thought. We're just opening and letting go into the space. The vast spaciousness. Of this third eye center. And the more you open, you may notice that this spaciousness, emptiness is everywhere. Everywhere. And so with that, we are opening and including. So you're relaxing the throat chakra, the shoulders, the jaw, the neck. Relaxing the upper chest. Descending down through the throat chakra. Allowing the throat chakra to be open, to be fluid. To be a conduit of grace. And so just notice if there's any clenching in the throat chakra. Oftentimes there is. Just a very, very subtle clenching. If you can, just relax that. And see if you can find the same spaciousness and peace. The same aliveness and luminosity. Within the space of the throat chakra. Do you notice a fluid space, or is this a point of restriction? And of course, at all, if this center is restricted, we're just gently inviting an openness, the fluidity. A willingness to trust. A willingness to be honest and to see. See everything which is within you. The good, the divine, the beautiful, as well as the human, the difficult, your evolving edge. This is one of the jobs of our throat chakra, is to be in charge of what we see, what we experience. And so I'm going to invite you just to open here and to continue opening into the space of the heart. So this moment, will you join me in seeing how beautiful is the space of your heart? How beautiful. And so you're opening your heart. You're walking more deeply into the space of the heart. You're feeling your radiance. You're acknowledging your beauty. You are saying yes. Yes to the heart. Yes to love. Yes to radiance. Yes to God's grace. And so, can you notice this radiance everywhere? In front of the heart, behind the heart, the sides of the heart, the fullness of the chest, the fullness of your body. Can you feel this luminosity? Just ask, what is this that I am? What is this true divine nature that I am? How loving is my heart? How radiant? How beautiful? And so, of course, as we begin to discover this beauty everywhere within ourselves, as we open and continue to open in the solar plexus below the heart. Again, this tends to be a center that we carry the heaviness or aggravation, or sometimes we have a little bit too much will or too much fight here, and if that's the case for you, that I invite you just to gently relax this. Relax the solar plexus. And of course, this is true with anywhere in your body. If you're noticing any tension, I invite you just to relax, just to open. And be willing to let go. And simultaneously receive. Receive the love that you are. Receive heaven from above. Receive this wonderful peace and light. Receive the strength and the groundedness of the earth. And so in this center, the solar plexus, are you willing to let go? Are you willing to let go and let God do your life? Or do you want to be in charge? Do you think you are smarter or wiser than God? Or are you willing to trust and open and let go and allow God's will, the higher will, to give birth in you? And so we're relaxing any fight that we have with life. Letting go of any fight. And instead, opening to this flow of divinity. Opening to the strength of your true nature. And with that, we say yes. We take a deep breath. And we descend deeper into the hara, the lower belly, the second chakra. Opening and letting go there. Opening and letting go. And if we are willing to let go of any deep unconscious resistance that we have here, we begin to discover a deeper level of openness, a profound and impersonal connection with God. A feeling of absolute strength, yet in the most impersonal way. Like a mountain, very strong, very open, yet impersonal. Impersonal. The Nahara often lives this deep fear of life, deep fear of letting go. And so, of course, if there's any of this there, we're just trusting. Trusting that it's okay. It's okay to let go. It's okay to open. We're letting go into God. Letting go into the profound innocence of life. Letting go into the groundless ground. And so what is this experience like of the groundless ground? Deep, profound, vast, radically empty, yet simultaneously luminous. And loving. And so with that, we take a deep breath into this and descend into the root chakra. And again, can you view the root chakra as a bowl where we are opening from the crown all the way to the root? It's simply being receptive. Receptive to God's grace, receptive to your true nature. Receptive to absolute strength and love and harmony. Sometimes in our root chakra is our resistance to family, resistance to being here on earth. arguments with our tribe or our ancestors? And are we willing to let go? Are we willing to let go? And not fight, yet open fully to heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Is this a possibility? Absolutely. Depends on how deeply you are willing to open. How deeply you are willing to trust that this is God's world. God's world. And so will you join me in letting go into God's world, heaven on earth. And so, yes, so I invite you to continue to sit in this meditative way as long as you like. Continue to listen with an open heart and be receptive. Continue to give yourself to your highest nature and God's grace. And so now I'm going to shift into the questions. And so by all means, if any of you have a question, please bring it forward. And in the meantime, I'll get to all these emails that I've been given this week. Excuse me. So the first question I have is from, I hope I'm saying your name right, it's Stan Meir. Hello, Craig, and thanks for your teachings. I find myself at a place where it is hard to do. I feel this laziness and this resistance to do work and chores. It's been this way for months, and I feel worried that it won't go away. I heard Adyashanti talk about the disappearance of the personal will and coming alive of a new energy that is going to move my life. I'm trying to find that energy inside of me, but I so far have found nothing. Can you help me? Yes, this is a beautiful question, and it's a question I've spoken about a lot. I've made a couple of videos on this, or there's a couple of videos on my YouTube channel about this, and there's a chapter in my book about this, the disappearance of the will. And so at some point along the path of spiritual awakening, where we deeply and profoundly let go, sometimes we find ourselves in this state of just not wanting to do anything. And there's two real stages of this. There's a transcendent state, and that's one of the states that happens in the beginning of spiritual awakening, where we just feel like we don't have a mind there. There's no real thoughts. There's not much we want to do, and we just feel spacious and empty. And of course, you know, unless you live in a monastery or have a trust fund, which most of us don't. Well, we still have to go to work. We still have to pay the bills and wash the dishes. And if we don't, you know, there'll be a price to pay. Because in this world, this world's a world of consequences. And so if you don't pay your taxes, you might find yourself in trouble. You know, if you don't wash your dishes, you might have dishes just overflowing out of your sink. You know, if you don't attend to your relationships, you know, I get this question in regards to relationship. I don't feel any desire anymore to be with my partner or this or that. And you know, what I normally tell people is don't make any great life decisions when this comes forward. But instead, just do what's wise. If there's work to be done, do the work. Being spiritually awake, it actually doesn't matter how we feel. What really matters is what we do. Are we responding from love, from kindness, from wisdom, And so there's going to be many times along the path where you'll feel spacious and open and lazy. And that's okay. That's okay. If you have free time, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Sometimes it's a desire for the process of awakening just to integrate, and it'll just make you feel lazy and not want to do anything, and you may find yourself just sitting on a couch and just, that's the time to integrate. But of course, at the end of the day, if there's chores to do, take care of the chores. You know, I've met a few people, even teachers, who they had this conversation with their children and said, "I am no longer your mother or father. I am the awakened one." And as you can imagine, that did not end well. Didn't end well for the individual who said that and the children. You know, the children end up in therapy, and then of course the teacher gets a slap in the face from their children. From their children. Hopefully that slap in the face will bring them back to reality. And so just do what's wise. Do what's wise, Stanmere. And of course, you know, the other thing I can say is beyond doing what's wise is oftentimes when this happens, we've opened to spaciousness, but we haven't opened to our heart. And the beautiful thing about our heart is our heart will always let you know what needs to be done. And so if there's anything that needs to be done, your heart will just clearly speak to you. Will clearly let you know. And this is true all of us. So whether we're feeling empty or confused, if you have an empty mind or a mind filled with too many ideas, your heart will let you know what the truth is. But with listening to the heart, we have to listen to the quietest, most innocent voice within us. And so if any of you have trouble finding your heart, of course, I'm going to invite you to bring your attention to the space in the center of your chest and just listen. Just listen and see what your heart tells you. See what your heart tells you. Now, as you deepen on the path, the second way the second way that the will falls away is in the space of the hara. And when this will falls away, you may feel or experience an even deeper and more profound emptiness and aloneness, a letting go. You know, your desire falls away, your politics may fall away, your fight literally falls away. And some people will interpret this as depression, but you know, if you continue to sit with it and open, what you'll find is your will is falling away, and this greater will is coming forward. But oftentimes God makes us wait for the greater will. She wants to make sure that most of your egoic conditioning, you know, the heavy conditioning, the wounding, falls away. A great requirement for this is a total willingness to embrace all pain. So if there's anything within you which is still resisting pain, well, that's probably the first stage of the disappearance of the will. When the second stage comes, it normally comes after a deep and profound willingness to embrace everything. All pain, all heartache, all anxiety, all fear. And it's through this doorway of opening and embracing and then ultimately of letting go that a great emptiness comes forward, followed by the descent of God's will. God's will being born in you. And at this stage, there's no feeling that you and God are separate, or that you and life, or you and anything is separate. And so it's radically profound, and it's much more rare. So Stanmere, I hope I answered your question, you know, I encourage you. This is something that normally requires some deeper support from a teacher. So if you have a teacher, it's important to reach out to them and meet with them. But I encourage you, if your body's wanting some time to be alone and be quiet, enjoy that. But at some point, as Jack Kornfield, the great Buddhist teacher said, after the ecstasy, after we experience profound peace and bliss, we must do the laundry. We mustn't forget about the laundry, especially when we're here on earth. Especially when we're here on earth. Okay, this is from my friend Marcel in Germany. Marcel asks, let me see if I can make his question succinct here. But Marcel and I, we had a very wonderful meeting, and he was very happy and joyous. But then a little bit later, he said, "The last few days, I feel a hard regression to depression and suffering. Basically, all these egoic tendencies and actions come to mind, which I carry along all the time, and they sadden me and fill me with regret and guilt. I feel a little bit hopeless right now. It's hard for me to disentangle from it all." Okay, and so I think we all know this question of we're walking along the path and we have this experience of bliss. It feels as if we're on top of the world. We feel a great sense of openness and love. And then, this pain and sadness and depression comes forward. And so one of the things that my teacher used to say to me, he used to give me this mantra, and it was very beautiful, it was very simple. Basically, the mantra was forward. Forward to God. We used to sing these songs every time we would meet, and at the satsang, we'd sing literally for like 45 minutes. And then my teacher would give a talk for like an hour or sometimes 2 hours, followed by an hour meditation. And so each week I would meet with him on a Sunday night. We'd have like a 3 or 4 hour class. And then on Sunday mornings, we'd have a 3 or 4 hour class. And so, but one of the songs that we would sing was called Forward to God. And basically, I can't exactly remember the lyrics because I wasn't much of a singer. I have kind of a raspy voice and wasn't the best singer, but anyways, the song went something like, when my heart is filled with despair, when I'm having a hard time in life, forward to God. That's where we're headed. Forward to God. And so this is why we practice. This is why we meditate every day. This is why we read the spiritual text. This is why we continue to meet together, because we have days and bad days. And so it's important to have a sangha. It's important to show up. It's important to continue to practice. And what you'll find is that this is normal. When we live in an evolutionary world, there's going to be times when you make great strides, and then times when the old habits come forward again. And you're meeting them with love. The more you meet them with love, the more they dissolve. And then you may find more love, greater spaciousness, greater emptiness. And then you may find those same habits coming forward again, but it's a deeper layer of those same habits. And so your job is to embrace them. Meet them with love. Don't give up. And Marcel, I know you. You have a beautiful heart. The funny thing about it is when we experience despair, our heart, our beauty, our innocence is still there. It's still there. That's what's acknowledging the despair. That's what's seeing the despair. And so there's something pure and innocence that is within all of us that is quietly witnessing our pain and suffering. And so I encourage you, first, get in touch with your heart. First, get in touch with this love that you are. And then from this space of love, embrace. Embrace the pain, embrace the sadness. Look honestly at your life. And when you look honestly, you'll see there's something actually innocent and beautiful here. And yes, maybe there's some human pain. Maybe there's some psychological suffering. But most of the time, when people think about looking honestly at themselves, all they look at is, all the things they're doing wrong, or the things they need to feel guilty about or regret. But being honest means we see the full picture, not just the suffering within us, but also our beauty. Being honest means we turn awareness upon itself. And notice there's something beautiful here. Something innocent, something pure. And so can we open to this? Can we open to this? Now I'm going to blend a couple questions here. I have two questions from two Tylers. And it's a similar question as that which Marcel asked. One Tyler wrote, "My mind is filled with filth and malice and violent images." And then another one wrote, "I'm plagued with random thoughts. Where do they come from? Is this coming from my personal unconsciousness or the collective unconsciousness? Often it seems like random thoughts are coming out of nowhere, and they often appear directed and arise because of the Kundalini energy." And so if any of you don't know what Kundalini energy is, don't worry about it. Let's just call it spiritual energy for this moment. But many of us know this, that the further we walk on the path, the further we open, we may discover, if we sit in meditation long enough, we may discover dark and vile aspects of the unconsciousness. And some of it is our own unconsciousness, and some of it is the collective unconsciousness. But my God, when you open to the collective unconsciousness, you'll discover all kinds of crazy worlds, And when you open to these worlds, you'll see these realms of, pornography and violence and hatred and anger and terrorism and heartache and despair. It's like when Jesus was in the desert, he was visited by these worlds. When Buddha was under the Bodhi tree, he was visited by these worlds. And so whether it's your own unconsciousness or the collective, it doesn't matter. The work is the same. You rest in your innate goodness. Trust that you are good. You notice that the one who is looking is untouched. Untouched by confusion, untouched by hell, untouched by the unconsciousness. Now, most people, when they have thoughts within them, they identify with those thoughts, and as soon as you identify with a thought, you will suffer. And so our work is to not identify, just to see it, just to notice it. And see that this thought is empty. See that there's no truth to this. That I'm a terrible person. And this Tyler wrote that he felt as if he was God's garbage disposal, God's dumping ground for filth and this and that. And I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I know this experience too. And one of the experiences of oneness is being one with everything. The greatest consciousness there is, the greatest intelligence and love there is, and also the lowest of the low. Oneness is not biased. It doesn't discriminate. Oneness is one with everything. And so you must be open, but you also must choose. You must choose. You must see what is true. What is true and what is false. What is true and what is samsara. And the invitation is to gently say no to that which is untrue. And yes. Yes to that which is true. And all the while you stay rooted. Excuse me. You stay rooted in this innate clarity, this innate sanity, which is noticing the dance of craziness, the dance of wildness, the dance of chaotic energies, which are floating through your consciousness. And so I'll say one more thing because you did mention Kundalini. Sometimes the more we open, and like we did this evening, where we're opening to our seven chakra centers, sometimes when we open to these centers, you begin to see the heaviness that covers the centers. And so when you're in your root chakra, sometimes when we open to that center, there's all kinds of sexual thoughts or thoughts about, anger towards family or your tribe or ancestors. Sometimes when you open in the second chakra, there's your thoughts and feelings about money and finance and my place in this world. And hell, sometimes when people just open their third eye, they see all their crazy thoughts, about their day or their week or their partner or their judgments. This is just true on the path, that when you open, you will see the muddiness of the water. But the more you open, what you find is the purity, the beauty, the emptiness, and the compassion of your own consciousness. So I'm going to invite you to have faith. Let go of the crazy thoughts and keep walking forward into the truth. Do not give up. Do not give up. Oftentimes God is gently testing us to see if we are willing, if we are willing to walk through the storm, if we are willing to stay clear and stay sane, if we are willing to continue to trust and have faith that there's something quite beautiful right here within us. So do not give up. Do not give up. Okay, beautiful. My next question, the next question is from Wim. Wim, he lives in Belgium. So hello, Wim. People often try to give meaning to what happens in their lives. Many people try to explain things, find reasons why things are happening, like there is a destiny for them. We are all hoping God has a purpose for us, and we try to find out this purpose by analyzing what is happening in our lives. Because of this behavior, we are creating beliefs about what we should do, what we should not do. And sometimes we get hurt if things happen in our lives which are not fitting in these beliefs. Okay, so Wim, your question is, do we have a purpose? Is there a personal purpose and or a collective purpose? Absolutely. Absolutely. If any of you have not noticed, we live in an evolutionary world. We are evolving out of darkness and into greater and greater forms of light. If you look at the animal kingdom, we are the evolving edge, the highest edge of the animal kingdom. We're evolving out of animal being, out of being an animal being and into a human being. And we are also simultaneously evolving. Some of us who are on the evolving edge are evolving out of being a human being and being into a divine being. And so what does evolution look like? Well, it's hard, it's difficult, it's complicated, it's messy. But we all have a choice. We have a choice to live from the lower or open into the higher. And so what does the higher look like? It looks more loving, more compassionate, more kind, more wise, more intelligent, more spacious, more united with God in all of life. And so this is the purpose for humanity. God created us to evolve into divine beings, to create a divine world. It's happening throughout the entirety of the universe, this evolution. Well, if you come to Colorado, you can see it happening in the rock layers. You can see when there was, once upon a time, there was just, dinosaur creatures that were inhabiting the earth. And now there's something much greater. Much greater. But even within the context of humanity, you see there's very low levels of humanity. War, violence, torture, rape, and really high levels of divinity. You see someone like the great Hindu saint Amici, who shows up as love. She's hugged like 23 million people on the planet, maybe even more, but she shares such love. So she's at the evolving edge of what's possible. Incredible enlightened master. And yes, spiritual awakening is part of this purpose. We all are meant to awaken. Now, whether it's this lifetime or not, well, that's a different question. But what you'll notice is the whole world is waking up. Once upon a time, it was hard to be in touch with spiritual teachings. You might have to walk 1,000 miles, across great deserts and plains and through forests to visit your Zen master in China. But in this day and age, you just go on YouTube. You just click on the Awakening Together podcast and hear some truth. And so there's an explosion of intelligence that's happening on the planet, and it's a beautiful thing. But simultaneously, there's also an explosion of all the other stuff. And the internet is filled with all types of things. And so humanity has a choice. Do we want to evolve, which is our purpose, into being light beings? Or do we just want to be regular human beings and chase after a job or car or beautiful wife or whatever it is? Or do we want to be animal beings and just fight with each other and say, "This is mine. Get out of my way. My country is going to rule the world, not yours." And fight each other with guns and missiles and swords and everything else terrible. And so that's the purpose of humanity. Jesus saw this a long time ago, 2,000 years ago. He saw that the kingdom of heaven was all about the earth, yet no man seeth. And now more and more, many more people, men and women are seeing it all across the world, are waking up to this truth. And so, do we have a purpose? Yes. Does humanity have a purpose? Yes. Do we individually have a purpose? Yes. Like I personally, part of my purpose is to be a teacher and a counselor. When I come into my heart, that's always been there. It's always been my purpose. Now my family consciousness, I was just thinking about how to say that, like my conditioning, what I was supposed to be, was I was supposed to be in the army. And that's what I was bred for. I grew up in a military family. My older brother joined the army. My dad was in the army. I was told I was supposed to be in the army. I visited that recruiter many, many times, but I just could not sign up. The big thing was is I was a vegetarian and I didn't want to kill anybody. And so I chose to say no to the family system and to listen to my heart and my purpose. And so just like you, Wim, you have your purpose, and it's more than to sell advertising or to paint pictures on the wall. You know your purpose. And you must follow it. You must follow it. And of course, there's nothing wrong with selling advertising or painting pictures. Normally, people who are meant to do advertising, they have a heart that's meant to network, that's meant to connect others. And of course, if you're an artist, well, if that's what's in your heart, you're meant to paint. You're meant to paint or share or give or create your art. Be creative. So, Wim's second question, can we find out this purpose by reading the course of our lives, or how else do we find this purpose? Well, we find this purpose by listening to our heart, through becoming quiet and just listening to our heart. Is this a healthy thing to do? Finding our life purpose, healthy, it's a necessary thing to do. It's absolutely necessary. So all of us must find our true purpose. We must live from this place. In fact, if we do not, our hearts will be sad. They'll be depressed. And that's your heart telling you, I am not in alignment with truth. When you're in alignment with truth, your heart is happy and joyous, even if your work is difficult. Like my job is very difficult. I sit with people in pain almost all day long. All day long. And then occasionally, you know, there's individuals who are really easy for me to meet with, and they really make me smile. It's a breath of fresh air. But most of the people I meet with are in tremendous pain. But because I see their hearts and I see their goodness, it makes my heart light up. And I know I'm living in alignment with my purpose, and so that's why I do this work. From a place of the mind, it would be much easier for me to go and start a smoothie stand on the island of Maui, close to the beach. That's what would be easy, but that's not my purpose. That's just what rationally would make sense to my mind. So, anyways, let's see here. I have another question here. This one, I'm not exactly sure who it's from, but my question is about concerning happiness and love. Happiness and love are natural state, yet somehow we have to get familiar with it again or to train in it. Yet on the other hand, trying to do so will generate love and happiness, but this way just feels unnatural and rapidly exhausting. Where's the golden middle between no effort and too much effort? Well, of course, my friend, you said it right there. Where is the golden middle? It's through what I call gentle discipline. In our search for happiness, you know, you may along the way have met some people who are just like, you know, I call them like Flanders. If any of you have seen the Simpsons before, there's Flanders, the neighbor. He's like the good Christian, and he's always thinking, you know, perfect, pleasant thoughts and this and that. And yes, if we're like Flanders, you know, just always thinking positive thoughts all the time, it takes great effort. It's not the truth. So where's the happy meal between that and doing nothing at all? Well, doing nothing at all doesn't work, and doing great effort leads you exhausted. Are you willing to be quiet? Be like the Buddha. And examine the nature of happiness and the nature of suffering. And within the teachings of the Buddha, he makes it very clear. There's some things we do which will just lead to more suffering. And so we choose actively not to do those. We choose actively to do that which is wise. So we meditate every day, even if we don't feel like it. We come into our heart every day. But we meditate from a place of openness, not from a place of effort. We connect with happiness from a place of openness, not from a place of effort. Like when I walk outside today in Colorado, springtime in Colorado, so it's snowing sideways and the wind is blowing and it's kind of harsh in the springtime. I normally don't like to be out in harsh conditions, but when I walk out and I look at life from my heart, I see this beautiful snow just dancing in the air. I see rays of sunshine and glistening snow. I feel the shock of the cold hit my face, and I smile and open. I smile and open. No effort. It's just a willingness to open. To not listen to the complaining mind. To allow my heart to see, my heart to experience the world. If you want to be happy, you must be in touch with the heart. You must know your heart. You must love your heart. You must be connected with your heart. There is no other way to be happy. In the beginning, this may take great effort. Sometimes I meet with people and they're in tremendous suffering. And I tell them, keep walking forward. Keep walking forward in the truth. Touch into your heart. Let go of your suffering. Touch into your heart. And open this door. And see there's something beautiful here. Something innocent. Something free. And so thank you all so much. You all so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here this evening. Again, thank you all for the donations. And of course, if you want to offer a donation, you can visit my website, craigholiday.com, with two L's. There's a PayPal link there. There's also my address there. I notice a lot of people like to mail in a check, so thank you for that too. They are greatly appreciated. Greatly appreciated. May all of you have a wonderful evening, wonderful day, whatever time it is where you are. My heart and your heart are one. Thank you for blessing me with your presence. May peace be with you all. May all of you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. Peace be with you.